Hello, and thank you for visiting the website of Living Hope Church today. I am really grateful to God that I have the opportunity on this podcast to share with you some of the great things that God in His mercy has deposited in my life and in Living Hope Church. So I want to welcome you especially to today's podcast. The title of today's podcast is The Things That God Is Good At. The Things That God Is Good At. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our wonderful Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for bringing us together to share your word, to be transformed by your word. We know that you have already taught us that the word of God will never return to him void. It shall accomplish the purpose of God. Therefore, today we pray, O God, let your word accomplish your purpose. Let it change our life for the better, O God. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. By the grace of God, I am your host, Pastor Dr. Kemi Atanda Ilori, the General Overseer of Living Hope Church. And today's podcast is about the things that God is good at. Of course, God is good in all things. God is exceptionally good in all things. Let's start somewhere in the Bible. Our key scripture for today's podcast is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8. Ho! Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And that is Psalm 34, verse 8. I know, and I'm sure you know too, that God is good in everything. God is exceptionally good. But today I want to share with us three key acts of God. Three key practices of God which cover all the good things that for me, God is good at. Everything that God is good at, I really want to share with you three key acts of God. Three key practices of God which cover everything you can think of that God is good at. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Number one, God is good at restoring our relationship with Him. God is very good at restoring our relationship with Him. Let me share a bit about what that means. God created us for an endless relationship with Him, but we are human and we fall short of His expectations. Falling short of God's expectations is what the Bible refers to as sin. So in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, the Bible says, all have sinned, all are falling short of the glory of God. Sin is something that destroys our relationship with God. It just doesn't damage it. It actually destroys it. And the wages of sin is death or eternal separation from God. You see that in Romans 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the Bible shows us very clearly that sin can be traced back to our first human parents, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve tried their best to please God, but they failed woefully in the Garden of Eden. You can see this in the first book of the Bible, the book that we all know as Genesis. So in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find the story of how Adam and Eve failed to live up to the expectations of God in the Garden of Eden. However, although Adam and Eve failed, God was determined to forgive them. This is so important for us. Although Adam and Eve sinned, although they fell short of the expectations of God, God was determined to forgive them and to restore the broken relationship. In due time, God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for every sinner. So we just did not inherit sin from Adam and Eve. Actually, sin is also present in our life, so we are accountable for our own sin as well. But thank God that in due time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for every sinner. The worst of sinners, and that's each one of us, can place our faith in the sacrifice of Jesus and have all our sins forgiven by God. This is how the Bible puts it in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's forgiveness is an utterly wonderful news. But even more wonderful is that God doesn't just forgive us our sins, he creates a new heart in us, a brand new heart that genuinely and completely seeks to please God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, we are not just forgiven by God. God knows that we need a brand new heart. And it is by placing our faith in Jesus that we become a new person. Galatians 6 verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. This is the most important teaching of the Bible, that God in his mercy took the initiative to restore our relationship to him. We are created to have a relationship with God. We are not created to have a religion. We are created to have a relationship. When we are just all caught up in religion, it doesn't help us. No religion can save anybody. Our salvation is found not in religion, but in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. So when somebody is into religion, whether it is Christianity or Islam or whatever religion it may be, that religion in itself does not restore their relationship with God. There is only one person that can do that, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why the emphasis in Scripture, in the Bible, completely every time, is not about religion. It's about relationship with God through only one person, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation from sin is not just that we are forgiven, but that we are born again by the Spirit of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. I always enjoy reading the book of John, you know, the Gospel according to John. Every part of Scripture is wonderful to read. But when we are talking about putting our faith in Jesus and knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, when we read John, the Gospel according to John, we discover the limitless wealth that God in His mercy has put into Jesus Christ for our salvation. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received Jesus Christ. Don't come to religion, come to Jesus. Don't even come to church, come to Jesus. Don't put your faith in any religious system. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. See the limitless wealth of God in Christ Jesus for our salvation. We are not just forgiven, we are born again. We are born again through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born again to a living hope. Born again to a relationship with God in which our heart, if genuinely we are born again, exclusively seeks to please God. God is so good in restoring our relationship with Him if we would let Him. This is an aspect of God's bottomless love. It's an aspect of God's inexhaustible grace. It's an aspect of God's immeasurable faithfulness to His own word and to His own nature. Listen carefully. Jesus is God's complete package for restoring our relationship with Him. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. This is 1 John chapter 1, from verse 5 to verse 10. Personally, I really, truly believe that if indeed we are God's children, our life will constantly proclaim God's love and God's goodness. If indeed we are God's children, it's not how we speak in tongues, how we prophesy, it's not a baptismal name that will show it. It's not going to a particular church that will show it. Churches don't provide salvation. Only Jesus does. It's not by paying our tithes. It's not by contributing financially to the church that we obtain salvation. There is no act of self-righteousness that will make us to become saved. We have to go through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And if that has happened, it's not speaking in tongues that will show that we are children of God. It's not the title of a pastor or general overseer or prophet or teacher or evangelist. All those things are external things that people may put on themselves, but the reality of their life may be different. They may actually be far from God. So how do we know that a person is truly born again? This is how we know. They truly, genuinely love God with all their strength, all their mind, all their might, and they love their neighbor as themselves. Love is the only key thing, the singular thing that shows whether a person is born again or not. It is easy to go to church and preach and teach and praise and worship, and yet we can be far away from God. If genuinely we have allowed God to restore our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, the only distinguishing characteristic is that we will love as God loves. That's the only distinguishing characteristic. We will love as God loves. Not speaking in tongues, not working miracles, not the numberless religious and Christian sounding titles or religious phraseologies that people use. Those things don't mark them out as children of God. Those things are things that people can easily use to deceive themselves and to deceive others. So don't let's fool ourselves, and don't let us be fooled by religiosity, which is what so many people call Christianity. Listen, God is exceptionally good at restoring our relationship with Him. And the only way to know we are God's children is the way we love. 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading from verses 7 to 11. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Hallelujah. Remember, today's podcast, it's about the things that God is good at. The things that God is good at. And I have shared with us that God is exceptionally good in everything. Everything you can imagine. God is so good, so excellent. God is bottomlessly good. God is marvelously good. God is awesomely good. God is winsomely good. There is no limit to the goodness of God. The Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I'm inviting you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is the woman who trusts in him. Everyone who trusts in God is blessed. Come on. Join me to taste and see that the Lord is good. So I said in today's podcast, I want to show us three acts of God, three practices of God, which cover anything you want to think about in relation to the goodness of God. And I've said that the first one is that God is good at restoring our relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one, God is good at planning our life. Once God has brought you to Himself through Jesus Christ, and you become a brand new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. Once you've become a person that is focused upon God, that is seeking to please God, not by following a set of rules, but by following the heart of God. You know, the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit sets us free. Not by acts of self-righteousness that so many people are interested in doing, whether they are religious or not religious. Everybody is interested in doing that. But not by acts of self-righteousness, but by acts of righteousness in Christ, by loving God practically and loving your neighbor. Once you are like that, once your life is focused upon God, you will soon discover that God is extraordinarily good at planning your life. In marriage, in divorce, in health, in sickness, in success, in failure, in times of prosperity, in times of adversity, God is excellent in planning our life. Listen, you just choose to walk with God one step at a time. Put all your trust in Him. Walk in obedience. Walk in faith. And you will be surprised that all things work together for you. Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Hallelujah. All things work together for good. Not to everyone. Not to everyone. Some people just quote it without finishing the sentence. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God is extraordinarily good in planning my life. God is extraordinarily good in planning your life when we focus our life upon God. Psalms 57 verse 2. David says this, "I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. I will pray to God. I will cry out to God. I will walk with God." Why? It is this God. It is our Heavenly Father. He performs all things for me. He plans my life. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. God is speaking here. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, Kemi. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So whether in marriage or in divorce, whether in health or in sickness, whether in success or in failure, whether in times of prosperity or in times of adversity, God is excellent in planning our life. Let us just choose to walk with God one step at a time. Let's put all our trust in Him. Let's walk in the obedience of faith. And I tell you, we will be surprised that all things will work together for our good. Psalms 37, verses 23 to 25. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you just focus your life upon God, if you love Him as He requires you to love, and you love your neighbor, you love God's work, you love God's house, you love God's people, you love God in everything that you think and do, the love of God becomes the framework of your life. It becomes the pivot of your life. It becomes your mindset. Everything that you do flows from your love for God. When it is like that, I tell you this, Psalms 37, verses 23 to 25, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Though that man may fall, that woman may fall, but they will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord would uphold them with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. That's Psalms 37, verses 23 to 25. It's so true for me. I'm preaching and teaching what I have experienced through the goodness of God. In today's podcast, we are looking at the things that God is good at, based on Psalm 34 that says, "Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is everyone who trusts in Him." Let me go quickly to Psalm 18 from verse 28. You know, this is the second point, that God is so extraordinarily good in planning our life. Psalm 18, verse 28 to 37. "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven." God is a shield to all who trust in Him. "For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Not my self-righteousness, but God in His mercy arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and He sets me on my high places. God teaches my hand to make war. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. God has also given me the shield of His salvation. His right hand has held me up. The gentleness of God has made me great. God has enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Guess what? I have pursued all my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed." Listen, God is extraordinarily good at planning our life when we focus our life upon Him. In marriage, in divorce, in health, in sickness, in success, in failure, in times of prosperity, in times of adversity, God is excellent in planning my life. All of this is about God's providence, God's plans, God's promises, God's purposes for your life, for my life. God will undertake to accomplish those things. It's about God's faithfulness. Every day of my life, I enjoy the faithfulness of God. In Living Hope Church, the church enjoys the faithfulness of God. If it were not for God, there would be no Living Hope Church. There have been so many things, so many challenges. Enemies inside, enemies outside, but God in His mercy protects the church and delivers the church from every evil scheme. We are where we are today, blessed, extraordinarily blessed, because of God's providence, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, God's extraordinary goodness. I really want to let us know that this is important. I also want to let us know that it's all about you as well, not just about God. It's about you. It's about the choices that you make. You need to make the best choices in your life, in marriage, in business, in every situation. Don't be afraid to make the best choice. Your choices matter. Don't stay in a relationship that is going nowhere, that is destroying you. Don't be yoked to people that are distracting you, that are destroying you. Change your mindset. If your mindset is not one that is set upon Christ, if your mindset is not helping you to forge ahead in life, to become the best that you can be in this single life that you have got, change your mindset. Go and get the mindset that God wants to give you, that you may achieve the purposes of God in your life. So, whilst I am saying that God is excellent in planning our life, I'm also saying to you, you have a responsibility in this matter. I have a responsibility in this matter. You can't just sit on your buttocks and say, oh, God will do everything. No. You need to know that you have a role to play. If indeed you know God, you know you have a role to play. It's about you too. It's about what you choose to love, what you choose to do with your life. I'm encouraging you. Your choices matter. When you begin to choose what God wants you to choose, no matter your circumstances, you'll be amazed at the faithfulness of God. You'll be amazed at the faithfulness of God. Choose to walk with God one step at a time. Put all your trust in Him. Walk in obedience of faith. And you will be surprised that all things will work together for your good. Let me repeat it. This is the second act about the things that God is good at. God is extraordinarily good at planning our life. Now let me finish on the third act of God. The third act of God that He does all the time. God is good at fighting for us. So remember, the first one is God is good at restoring our relationship with Him through Christ Jesus. The second thing is that God is good at planning our life, extraordinarily good. And this third one is God is good at fighting for us. Life is a war fought as a series of battles. We will win some battles, we will lose some battles, but overall, we will always win the war because God is fighting for us. Don't be discouraged when, despite your obedience and faith in God, certain events in life appear loaded against you. Sometimes The challenges we face can be overwhelming. Sometimes life can even seem pointless. But what we need to know is that the road of life is sometimes bumpy and rough, despite our obedience and faith in God. That's life. That's life. The road of life is sometimes bumpy and rough, despite our obedience and faith in God. But listen carefully. If we truly love God the way He wants us to love Him, He wants us to love Him practically, not as a matter of empty religiosity. But if we truly love God the way He wants us to love Him, guess what? We will be where God wants us to be, and we will be doing what He wants us to do. And no matter what comes our way, God is fighting all our battles for us in the background. We will surely be greater than an overcomer. This is what I've experienced in my life. I'm sharing this with you. God has blessed me extraordinarily. He fights my battle for me. In the background of my life, God is always winning. Exodus chapter 14, from verses 10 to 14. Exodus chapter 14, start from verse 10 to verse 14. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, this is what you should not do. I'm going to read what they said to Moses. You shouldn't be saying this either to your pastor or to your parents or to your husband or to your wife or to anybody else. And you should never say it to God. But this is what the children of Israel said to Moses. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Listen, if you are where God wants you to be, even if the road is bumpy, even if you are having challenges, God is fighting in the background. These people, they were so ignorant. They lacked faith. They actually don't love God. Because if you love God, these are things that you will just know by intuition. You will know it somehow, mysteriously. Because the love of God will teach you these things. You will never say to God, why am I here? If you know you are where God wants you to be, and you are doing what He wants you to do there, you know that whatever battle you face in that place, God is fighting your battle for you. You will win. So in verse 13, see what Moses said to the people. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. If you are where God wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do, believe me, God is always fighting your battle for you in the background. The road may be bumpy, life may be rough, but you stay with God. Stay where God wants you to be. The most important thing is how people fail to be where God wants them to be. They are where they themselves want to be, and then they are looking for God to help them. Yeah, God can help you, but He will move you out of where you are wrongly placed. He will move you to where you should be placed, and He will expect you to be doing what He wants you to do in that place. So in Exodus chapter 14, from verse 10 to 14, we are reading about the children of Israel. God has moved them out of Egypt. God, in fact, has brought them They are now before the Red Sea. And now Pharaoh is behind them. But they are where God wanted them to be. And they should be confident that God is fighting their battle for them, especially if they are doing what God requires them to do in that place. I will read Exodus 14, 24 to 25. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And the Lord troubled the army of the Egyptians, and the Lord took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." That's what God does in my life. That's what God does in Living Hope Church. The Lord fights for us against our adversaries. The Lord, in His mercy, He fights for me against my adversaries. I always say this to people: if you are my enemy, I feel sorry for you. You are on the path of destruction. If you are my enemy, I just feel sorry for you. You can't win. Throw me up, dash me down. You can't ever win. You can't win. You are on the path of destruction if you are my enemy. Because I'm where God wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do. Therefore, God is fighting my battles in the background of my life. Let us read Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 to 14. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angry against you, all those who are incensed against you, they shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, Kemi. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing." Can we listen very well, beloved, as you are listening to this podcast? "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." In today's podcast, we are looking at the things that God is good at. And God is good at everything. The Lord is good at everything. But I'm showing us three things which cover everything for us. And this is the third one, that God is fighting our battles for us. Therefore, we will always be overcomers. We will be conquerors. We'll be conquerors. We'll be conquerors. Let me read Isaiah chapter 54. And this is where we are finishing today's podcast about the things that God is good at. And listen, God is good at everything. And I've shown us three acts of God. Three wonderful things that God will do in your life that covers everything that God is good at. One, God is good at restoring our broken relationship with Him. So always enjoy that. God is good at restoring our relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. It has blessed me exceptionally. God is good at planning our life. His providence, His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His faithfulness. God is good at planning our life. When you focus your life upon God, all things work together for your good. And we are on the third one, which we are finishing on now. God is fighting our battles for us so that we are greater than overcomers. We are greater than conquerors. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 14 to verse 17. Here is a huge blessing to me. And I believe it's a huge blessing to you. "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. You shall be far from terror, it shall not come near you. Indeed, your enemies shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you, Kemi, shall fall for your sake. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. But listen, Kemi, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is where we are finishing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who trusts in God. This is what I'm enjoying. I want you to enjoy it as well. I enjoy it every moment, every day. This is what keeps me strong. This is what keeps me young. This is what keeps me healthy and wealthy. This is what keeps me victorious. This is what keeps Living Hope Church healthy and wealthy and doing exceptionally well, because God does all things for us. God is good all the time in everything, and God is good extraordinarily in every situation. God is just so good. He is good at restoring our relationship with Him. A healthy relationship with God is a sine qua non, an utterly necessary factor for a healthy and wealthy life. God is good at planning our life. God's providence, God's plans and purposes, God's protection and provision, God's absolute goodness will always be there for us, especially when we choose to walk with Him in obedience and faith. God is good at fighting our battles for us. If you focus your life upon God, in every battle, you will be greater than a conqueror. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for your goodness towards us. There is no one like you, O God. We thank you that in Christ Jesus, Lord, you have made us a new creation. We are your children. This is your desire. Your desire is not that we are into religion. Your desire is that we are into relationship with God through Christ Jesus. I pray that everyone that has listened to this podcast, they will rediscover what a wonderful Father you are, a great, great Redeemer, a great friend. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, great, great God of heaven and earth. I pray that people will rediscover that as they listen to this podcast, that you are good, extraordinarily good in restoring our relationship. Father, you are so good in planning our life. As we focus our life upon you, Eternal Father, God and Father of the Lord Jesus, you are extraordinarily good in planning our life. Even when the road of life is bumpy and rough, we can be sure the goodness of God will make all things work for our good. Father, you are extraordinarily good in fighting our battles for us so that we are greater than overcomers. In every battle of life, in the war of life, you have already won the victory for us, O God. Satan has no room. Our enemies have no room. They are already defeated completely. You have set us on the rock. You have made us to be great people, unique people, blessed people, wonderful people. This is who you are in our life, and we thank you, O God. Take all the glory, all the praise, and all the adoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Bluetooth mode.
I want us to listen to a particular music. I want us to listen to a particular music that has been a blessing to me, just as we round up on today's podcast. This has been a blessing to me a lot.
Device paired.
Hallelujah. So let's listen to this music. It is Taste and See. Taste and See. Okay, let's listen. Be blessed as you listen. Thank God for that. Thank you so much. And I look forward to meeting you again in the next podcast. Feel free to come back to the website of Living Hope Church. Let's enjoy God together. I am your host, the General Overseer of Living Hope Church, Pastor Dr. Kemi Atandai-Lori. Be wonderfully blessed. God loves you. Bye for now. Bye.